Welcome back to As If. We're back with a second season. I know. It's been a while. I was taking time off to figure out what I wanted to do next, what I wanted to talk about next, and just in general to have a bit more time to work on other projects. Also, I felt like the last half of season one started to slip a bit because there was just like a lot of videos or a lot of episodes that were not about art at all. Like, I don't mind a little bit of a non-arts discussion or even half and half kind of. So I wanted to, you know, take my time and think about that or whatever, figure out what I wanted to do. And also, I just like the idea of having seasons. I just like the idea of having like a new cute little photo shoot that has like a new, like a bit of a new look every season. I feel like it makes things a little bit more fun. I also definitely need to get better at promoting this podcast because the amount of people who tell me, oh, this was the post that I found out that you have a podcast. This is a post that basically let me know that you even have a podcast, which is crazy because I feel like I always plug it in. But I guess I don't really verbally do that. I usually kind of post on the community post or talk about it at the end of my videos, especially as like a little card at the end with the jingle playing. But I guess that for most people, they probably just think that it's just like my channel, like video ending song or something like that. Anyway, I'm just like not the best at promoting things, I guess. I should definitely become better because, well, it's an important thing to do for your work to actually get out there. There's been a few projects that I've been working on for so long, like the Bratz outfit remake, that is just like taking so long because I don't know how to sew properly and I can only do that with my assistant, and she's obviously busy. You know, this is not her job as it is mine. And I've been feeling kind of like YouTube is kind of a bit stale in terms of even content that I consume myself. I just kind of feel like there's a lot of rehashing and oftentimes a lot of videos about, like, for example, aesthetics and stuff like that, that are not really saying anything, and they just kind of talk about the same things over and over again, which is technically fine. And like, I understand that there's like, it's very difficult to produce so much content as you have to when you are in the online sphere. I think that's actually the reason why we have so much shit content out there. And like, I think that they probably also are struggling with the same thing of like wanting to invest into their videos, but knowing that the, like, if you're investing more than you're making back, it's like not a great system, obviously. And also, it's not sustainable in any type of way. For me, I, you know, sometimes I think that most creators that are not like huge creators that kind of got millions of views from the get-go because of their like first video blowing up or something like that, you're kind of in a state of constantly trying to keep the videos or to make your videos to be at the level that you want them to be, even in terms of just the technical aspects of it all, you know, like the sound and the visuals or whatever. But it's very difficult to do when you don't have the capital to invest into it, because I don't know, first and foremost, YouTube is definitely one of those things where you only thrive if you are the type of person who likes companies like BetterHelp and HelloFresh and other things like that. You know, like, it's really hard to build a career if you're not really a fan of those things. You have to have capital coming in from somewhere else. And honestly, I wish I had like a regular job just because, well, a regular in the sense that the one that pays like at least like normally, not low wage and stuff like that, because it is definitely nice to be getting like a very steady paycheck. And this is more of a stressful type of job, and especially for someone who really wants to make good things. And I just don't really think that I think that a lot of the mechanisms on YouTube are kind of working against making good shit. You know, you have to be kind of like Mr. Beast or kind of like those like beauty YouTubers. Now beauty YouTubers obviously like all like dead and gone, but in general that's kind of like a thing. And I find it definitely annoying from time to time. Sometimes I like don't care, but sometimes when, you know, there's like bills coming in every other, you know, like whenever there's bills coming in and you're like, okay, well, why did I spend money on a microphone if like YouTube is still like not really covering your bills, right? In other news, I also had Wink's marketing team reach out to me and send me like a little gift with like a cosplay pattern for Bloom's Magic Winks and this lip gloss and I think like a notebook. That was really cute, mostly because like, I mean, I love the fact that I got to talk to people who are working for Rainbow and stuff. That's really fun. But recently, I've been kind of getting quite pissy about some of the interactions that I have, like comments and stuff like that, about like all my videos where I talk, where I kind of make more of a video essay rather than like a ranking or a deep dive. I kind of get like sometimes on some videos, for example, on my AI art video, I get like a lot of comments from people who have no credentials in arts, like definitely you can tell. And it is so crazy to be talked down to by so many like strangers, so many like men strangers who think that they like have the right to speak about things as if they know as if they're like knowledgeable about them, when in reality you can tell by the way that they speak they don't actually ever participate in any art discourse or know like proper art discourse. I don't mean like talking on Twitter with somebody, okay? Like actually knowing some kind of art theory, like at least a little bit, girl. Like you can't just come into a video, you know, like a video video comment section on a video where I'm talking about so many principles, you know, of art, and speaking with its tone, you know, it's just, it's really crazy the audacity that people have when they talk about topics that have nothing to do with them. In terms of like topics that they are not knowledgeable about, I don't know. I just feel like it makes a little bit more sense if you speak mostly on things that you know things about, you know? And that whole thing kind of got combined with the stuff that I see on Twitter, obviously, and also the things that I see in my comment section for the video about Sam Levinson and the Idol. Girl, it is crazy. Media literacy is dead. It is absolutely insane. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I just keep on seeing the most ridiculous takes online. So for example, I want to talk about one of these examples specifically, which was, I believe there's some kind of crime that was committed or whatever, and there was a bunch of true crime videos about it. I think it was Abby Choi. I don't know if you know about that whole situation, but it just pissed me off because I kept on seeing things in the news articles and in the YouTube videos that people made about the situation or whatever, and they kept on saying real life parasite. As in that Korean movie Parasite. And the problem is, just to like keep you up to speed with the situation with Abby Choi, she was married to this guy and like she got an apartment for his parents. Then they got divorced, she moved on, and she was kind of supporting them financially for years and years because they have like children together. I don't know why she was doing that. I guess she was just like really kind. And then that family that she was kind of, you know, still supporting, the father of her ex-husband, he was like a retired policeman, and he was forced to retire because of like things that he's done while in the police force. So not good people, right? They basically like unalived her, and it was like very gruesome, whatever. But it's just really strange because people keep on saying that this is a parasite situation, like in that movie, because poor people were leeching off of her and they killed her. It's so crazy to see people miss the point of the movie entirely and speak so freely about it as well. It's just so frustrating as an artist. I'm sure that the director is like feeling this way when he sees shit like that everywhere. Parasite shows an extremely poor family, living in extremely horrible conditions. Like, their apartment is constantly flooded with sewage water. Not even like water, but you know what I mean. And it is a movie that kind of shows a story that technically should be framing the poor family as like the villains, because they kill someone. Not they, but like one of them kills someone or whatever. And because they take an opportunity from another poor family who was working for that rich family. But the entire point of the movie is that the reality is they are not the parasites. The parasites are those rich people who live off of their labor while not doing anything themselves. It's basically a critique of capitalism. Like, the entire thing is a critique of capitalism and critique of the rich, you know? And somehow we get so many people who did not get, like, they have no fucking clue what they're even talking about. How do you miss the point that bad? How do you see people living in sewage debris in their apartments, working full-time, studying full-time, doing all the things that they're supposed to do, and still living like this? Being shown a rich family that is full of absolute dickheads, and how useless they are, how little they actually contribute to society, and still side with them, and still think that that poor family are the villains. Like, you have got to be so stupid. So stupid. So I kept on seeing that, and I just could not believe that they would genuinely say that. And I went to the comment section hoping that somebody would be like, the fuck are you talking about? If you don't get what the movie is about, just go to the Wikipedia page and read the reception or whatever portion of the Wikipedia page where they explain what critics said or whatever, or the what director said about it. There's so many fucking interviews about it. It's so on the surface that it's crazy that people misunderstood it to this degree. And then we get this whole situation with Squid Games. Again, what's up with like Korean media being misinterpreted? We got Squid Games. We've got, first of all, that goddamn idiot Mr. Beast making like a YouTube version of it, you know, creating a Squid Game with people like competing for money or whatever. And it's like the whole point of that show was to show that this is insane, that this is depraved, that we are at a point as a society where, like, this is goddamn idiocy, you know? Like, this is cruel, this is insane, this is bad. Very plain and simple. This is not difficult to digest information or media. This is so clearly, like, it's so clear what they're trying to say. There's no way you look at it and you go, that would be so fun if we had Squid Games in real life. We would definitely win and would win money. You sound like those kids from Hunger Games that were from the career districts. You sound ridiculous. These are the best games that have ever been created. That's what that white boy was saying. What's his name? Kato? No, I don't know. But you just sound so stupid. I genuinely don't understand what's going on. Then we've got this whole like situation with the idol, right? So the idol definitely... I mean, I've made a video before when the Rolling Stone article came out, before the actual show came out, and I was talking specifically about Sam Levinson and about him and his artistry in quotations. And I think it's just like there's so many things that show how little they really thought about the series. One of those things that kind of show that they did not think about it at all was even very simple things, like in one of the episodes, I believe it may have been the first one, because I haven't seen the entire show, I just keep seeing clips and such, and people talking about it, you know, people reacting to it. I'm not giving them any of my true attention in terms of actually watching it on the platform or anything like that. In any case, we've got this situation in the first episode, I think, where the intimacy coordinator is telling Lily Rose Depp's character that she cannot show the nipple in the photos because it wasn't in the contract, so like in the pre-negotiated terms, so it would be against the intimacy rules. And the reason reason why intimacy coordinators even exist is because there needs to be an impartial party who gets paid to specifically control the process, because obviously in fields like this kind of media, you know, it's not art, but whatever, you've got a lot of people who, the way that they work on sets is very willy-nilly, you know? They kind of sign one contract that says that, for example, the person can show their legs, their torso, but they're not, like, their stomach, but they're not gonna show their boobs or something like that, right? And then during the process, they first make the person like them. They're kind of usually charismatic, or they're quite manipulative, and usually it's like the photographer, for example, who, or the producers, sometimes it's the entire team, you know, because they know that they would make more money off of that or whatever, and they kind of just slowly suggest ideas while the shoot is going on, making the person very uncomfortable in terms of saying no. So oftentimes people would feel like they were coerced into showing more of themselves, more of their body, or doing poses, suggestive things or whatever that they did not feel like they actually agreed to. And the reason why they would be feeling that way is because they just, I don't know if you've ever been in situations like that, like this. I'm quite outspoken, and I usually just say like, oh, I'm not comfortable with this, or no, like I'm not doing that, you know. But there also were times when I felt pressured and felt like, you know, we were friends with the photographers or with the people on set or whatever, and you feel more like obligated to do what they suggest. So intimacy coordinators are there to prevent this, to prevent you from feeling used afterwards because you did not agree to it, you know. If you wanted to agree to whatever comes up on set, right, you could have just negotiated it ahead of time, being like, I'm comfortable taking pictures nude, for example, if the shoot requires it or whatever, right? In the show, they kind of show it as a bad thing, as if like, oh, Lily Rose Depp, she doesn't have full control of her body. She can't decide that she's gonna show her boobs. It's like, it's empowering to her. Why can't she do that? And it's like, well, you could have just said that you're cool with nudity beforehand and it wouldn't be an issue. His job is to stop you from being coerced into shit that you did not agree to when you weren't in that situation being hounded on by a bunch of people from the production, right? And then the thing is, a lot of people were like, oh, that's interesting to like talk about or whatever in the show, which I think it is, but it's so strange because if it was just the show showing whatever they were showing, right, it would be one thing because I would be thinking that maybe they are commenting on how ridiculous it is to say, to like kind of make the person step on their own comfort and step over the lines that they drew themselves for the sake of like appeasing this random photographer, this random production lead, kind of talking about how, you know, this sexual revolution is oftentimes used against women, right? Against what they actually want and such. So it's just crazy because I would think that that's what they were going for at first, but then they had this, like, you know, the interview with Lily and with Abel and everyone, and they asked about that, right? About the intimacy coordinator thing, and she goes, it's just so crazy that in this industry there's such a thing as, you know, I love intimacy coordinators, but at the same time, it's like, I can't even show my body. I can't decide what I want to do with my body. And it's like, no, you can. You just have to do it ahead of time. So there's no like question of whether you were coerced or not. So you don't feel like you've been used afterwards. Just, it's done not only for you, it's done for everybody. This is, I don't know, it was so fucking dumb because you can give so much benefit of the doubt to the production, to Sam, to Abel, to Lily, to fucking everyone. And yet they keep on proving you all wrong, because people keep suggesting that maybe they were commenting on something, maybe they were actually doing this and that, and then it turns out that they were not doing that, they were doing the opposite every single fucking time. They are engaging in all of these issues to such a shallow level that it is crazy, you know. You give them, like, I kind of feel like we all give them a lot more credit than they actually deserve in terms of thinking that they have thought it through, that they have analyzed everything, because it seems like they're so sloppy and all over the place and all of their commentary doesn't go anywhere. You know, I think that there's nothing wrong with the fact that, for example, The Weeknd has a rat tail. I absolutely hate it, of course. God, it's so gross. But I think it's kind of the point, right? I think that his character is supposed to be gross and supposed to be sleazy and supposed to be unattractive. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but he needs to be at least charismatic. It feels like just doesn't make any sense. But honestly, I feel that way in real life. Whenever I see, you know, who girls date, I'm always like, you can't be fucking serious, that guy. So I kind of think that in many ways it's realistic. However, I think that they should have given him at least some charisma, because it just doesn't make any sense why she so immediately fell into this whole trap. Because I understand that it's because of her mother and their relationship and her unresolved trauma with her, and that kind of transferring to the next person and her looking for stability through abuse, whatever. But it just doesn't work. It doesn't. Because you still have to make things work and make sense a little bit more. You can't just keep on throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks. Most of all, what gives insight into their production is their commentary on it, right? The creators and the actors, people who worked on it and whatever. What really, really fleshes out if the show production actually knew what the hell they were doing is, yeah, definitely like what they say in real life. And I think that with time, like when the show ends, there's going to be already weeks and weeks and weeks of discourse that happened, which will definitely change the way that they talk about it. I can assure you of that, because they're gonna see a lot of good takes, a lot of people who know stuff about media, who are trying to give them benefit of the doubt, you know, who are giving them ideas as to how present the information. So for example, at first Lily said what they actually were doing with that whole intimacy coordinator thing, but I can tell you for sure that the next time she's going to be asked about it, or the next time Sam is going to be asked about it, or Abel, they're all going to say what has been suggested online as an excuse, or, you know, before she actually commented on it, because they know that it's going to change the tide of like how people feel about the project. All you need to do is just listen to people criticizing whatever you made and adjust the way that you speak about it to suggest that there's been more thought given to it than there was, and to suggest that you actually engaged with the topic in a way that expands on it instead of or really explores it instead of just showing a bunch of really horrible sex scenes. I have already said before that I'm not like against sex scenes, but there's definitely a problem with the fact that a lot of the sex scenes that we have on TV nowadays, they're just absolutely horrible. Whenever you watch them, you kind of go, okay, maybe sex is not for me. Maybe that's what it is, because it's so gross. It is. I don't know why they're doing this. I don't know why they want the entire generation to just fucking become disgusted by it, but they're definitely getting us all there, because I genuinely cannot even look at it. Jenny in The Idol, she definitely has something. She looks good on camera and everything, but that choreography, I was just like, wow, this is, I really don't want to be watching it, because it's just like, yeah, it's just like so sexual. I think for me in choreographies, there's like a line where when it looks like you are literally riding a guy, literally like you are basically having sex, but you're wearing clothes. If this is a situation that's happening, I'm out. Like, I can't be doing that no more. I did not sign up for a porno. I could have just watched a porno if I wanted to instead of seeing this, you know? In any case, yeah, The Weeknd has like really bad vibes. Like, he's got incel vibes. And I'm just gonna say that I feel like I'm not too far off in terms of who he actually is. I also talked about it on Twitter. But yeah, a thing about like, you know, living in Vancouver is that you meet a lot of C-tier celebrities who are here to like film something for Netflix or whatever. And years ago, like maybe 5 years ago or something like that, no more. I think I just moved to Vancouver to go to school and stuff, and I was at a Starbucks with a friend sitting outside, and it was in Yaletown. I don't know if you guys know where that is, but if you guys are familiar with Vancouver or not, but I was just having, you know, a drink at Starbucks, and I saw Colleen Ballinger and her like best friend come in and like come out of the Starbucks, and they at first I did not like recognize who they were because I've seen like Miranda Sings stuff and whatever, because like she was basically in every fucking YouTuber video back then. But at first I kind of like didn't really recognize them, but they made me kind of like look at them for a while because they were giving me the dirtiest looks, and I genuinely thought that I must have, like, maybe I know these people, maybe like I did something to them, because why the fuck would they be giving me such a like nasty ass look, you know? They were giving me this look as if I killed their entire family, you know what I mean? Like, it seemed so intense for no reason that I genuinely sat there for a moment being like, do I know them? Maybe I do. Maybe I just kind of forgot or something. You know, it happens. I do have really bad memory. Like, maybe we know each other. And then I realized, I was like, no, wait, it's that YouTube girl. And to this day, especially with all the news coming out recently, I'm a little proud that nasty people like that kind of hate me just on sight. It's kind of something to be proud of. If you are one of those people who are like people pleasers, or you need everybody to like you, let me give you some advice that's gonna help you let go of that. There's a lot of people in the world that you don't want to be liked by. You shouldn't want to be liked by. People like P words. I'm not gonna say the word because I don't want to get flagged or whatever. People who are different types of bigots, you know, people who are just nasty in general, people who, there's so many people in the world, they're just genuinely the worst, you know, like a priest from residential school or something like that, who was, you know, doing things that he wasn't supposed to back in the day. Like that type of people, you never know what kind of person you met, but sometimes when they dislike you, it might be a really good thing, you know? It might be a really good thing. You never know. So don't try and get everyone to like you, because maybe they're, you know, a common Andrew Tate. Maybe they are the type of person you really don't want to be liked by, you know? Something to think about. You don't have to be liked by everyone, because a lot of people suck and you don't want to be liked by them. Anyway, I'm really worried about the state of media literacy recently, because I mean, I know that people are sometimes can be silly, but it's just too many people just say whatever. It's so crazy to me, like, people just say whatever comes to mind. They don't really waste time analyzing what they feel like. It's crazy. I genuinely don't understand what the hell is going on, and whatever at this point. I'm working on a witch video, WITCH witch, the Disney comic and or graphic novel and a show, and I already watched everything and I read everything that I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about two arcs of the graphic novel, and I'm going to be mentioning other arcs as well, but not in detail, because the show only covers two arcs and it's going to be a little bit too confusing if I'm going to be doing all of the arcs from the, you know, graphic novel at the same time. It's just going to be a little bit too much. I will touch on some things in regards to it, because I did read five of them already, five arcs, so I'm quite ahead of the show, and I can definitely comment on stuff from later graphic novel issues, but I just think it's going to be a little bit confusing if I go beyond that, because the show has like a lot of differences from the graphic novel. If you haven't heard of this show, I think that you're going to still like it if you like my deep dives in general. I think that it's going to be in line with like Bratz and Winx kind of shit, you know? So I think you're going to like it. And I'm trying to come up with like really interesting, you know, entrances and like costumes and whatever. And listen, it's always such a headache every single time, because making a costume, even if I make every single piece instead of buying them, it's still like about $150 and plus, you know, the labor costs or whatever. And it's just like, girl, I probably make like maybe $1,000 in, you know, USD from YouTube. Can't be doing all that, you know, with all the bills that I have. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want it to be like a shit video. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want it to be like, you know, shitty YouTube kind of stuff. There's some more things coming, and I also really want to start having more of a discussion in this podcast in terms of incorporating your guys's questions and such. It doesn't have to be art related, because I think that art questions can kind of get repetitive sometimes. So you can ask about literally anything or suggest things in general that could be fun for us to talk about. I will also have my assistant on a podcast for one of the podcasts, because I personally think, I mean, like, I got a lot of comments about that too, so I know that it's not just like my personal opinion, but regardless of that, I think that we have like a really good rapport. I think it's super rare to have such a good rapport with somebody. You know, like, we're quite funny together, and we're a lot funnier when we're, you know, in a combination like of us two. And I also want to do more reactions. We're gonna do a show of reactions on this channel, on the podcast channel. It's not gonna be, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you know, podcasts or whatever, it's not gonna be available as a podcast, because it's gonna be a reaction to movies and such, like, and stuff like that. And I don't know how often we're gonna be releasing it, because if it was only up to me, I would definitely give you a very definite schedule. But because I'm working with somebody else and she has a full-time job, it's a little bit of a difficult, you know, scheduling situation. So I don't know, but I'm really excited about that, because I think that it's gonna be really fun for all of us, because it, I don't know, something about our dynamic is quite funny and fits my channel. Like, she's also, you know, a Bratz, Winx, witch, and all of the designers and fashion girly. She literally knows, like, she has a degree in, like, in art and also in fashion design and actually making garments, you know. So we have a lot in common, and I think that that really works well. In any case, I want to talk more about a bunch of topics. I have prepared a bunch of things for this season. I'm really excited to start recording all of it. And I hope that it's going to be fun and not like a dull kind of situation, because I don't want, you know, I think that art conversations can just turn into such a boring, like such boring shit, you know. I just heard so many podcasts from like galleries and from magazines and stuff like that that were about art that are so boring, and usually involves like, if they have somebody to interview or to talk to or whatever, there's always so much like bootlicking going on too. I think it's because they're all in the same industry and they're kind of trying to get ahead or something. In any case, I just hope that we can have something more fun going on, and hopefully the sound is better and everything. If not, it's gonna keep getting better, but I do need to, you know, collect some funds to be able to buy a proper microphone or whatever. So I'm really excited for what's to come. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you're having a great summer. Let me know how you're doing, what's new, you know. And I'll be back with another episode soon. Really excited about the second season. Bye.